You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
From the depths of the sea, this is Transmissions from Atlantis, a sci-fi, fantasy, and horror podcast with a special emphasis on Doctor Who. Featuring the creators of Seekers of the Lost World, Rita and J.C. Delatorre.
Hey there, everybody. My name is J.C. Delatorre.
And I'm Rita Delatorre.
And you are listening to episode 115 of Transmissions from Atlantis. The Walking Dead grief counseling episode. Yes, we're sorry that we're a little late in delivering this episode, but we wanted to see the first episode of The Walking Dead because we knew how impactful it would be for all the deadheads out there. And so the one thing we will say is if you've been listening to this podcast, you shouldn't have been surprised by the results. But we will get into that a little bit more, and we will definitely give you some ideas of what we thought of the first episode of the season, and obviously give you some grief counseling.
Real quick note, though, shouldn't we give our listeners the results of the last great debate?
Yeah, you lost.
Loser.
Yeah, you sunk. So, there you go. All right, moving on.
Yep, and just so you know, our Walking Dead segment will be chock full of spoilers. We can't really give grief counseling if we don't talk about what happened, so if you haven't seen the season premiere of Walking Dead, this is probably not a good podcast for you to listen to, so go ahead and go watch it, and then come back and listen to this podcast. Also, we're going to be talking about a few other things, like in our rapid fire, we're going to be talking about Miss Pettigrew's...
Peregrine's.
Whatever her name is. I don't know. Pettigrew, Peregrine, whatever. So we watched that. And we also watched The Magnificent Seven, which isn't really sci-fi or anything like that. But
it was still cool.
It was still a cool movie, so we'll talk about that too. And a few other things that will come up on the rapid fire stuff. And of course, in our Doctor Who segment, we will talk about our first episode of Doctor Who this year. It was called Class.
Not Doctor Who.
What do you mean it's not Doctor Who?
It's Class.
Was the TARDIS in it?
Yes.
Was the Doctor in it?
In this episode.
Then it's Doctor Who, damn it!
No, it ain't. It is in that universe. It is a spinoff. It is not exactly Doctor Who, but it still counts towards the segment.
I haven't had a Doctor Who episode since Christmas, so damn it, I'm calling it Doctor Who! Anyway, we'll be talking about Class's first episode. And I'll let you know what we thought of that. So, without further ado, I guess we can get to the rapid fire. All right, folks, it is time for rapid fire! Fire! Wait, why are you looking at me weird?
Because you sound stupid.
You're okay. Stupid.
So, we're going to start off with the Miss Peregrine School for Peculiar Children. And if you don't know already, this is based on the book by the same name. But what's really cool about this film is that it's, for the most part, actually stayed really true to the book. The only major difference I've noticed so far, and mind you, I'm rereading the book and I haven't gotten to the end yet, is Olive and Emma's powers have been reversed.
Okay.
But aside from this, I really thought it was a good fantasy flick.
Yep, so you got a rating for it?
I'm probably going to give it maybe an 8.
8?
Okay. It's not the greatest film I've ever seen, but I thought it was pretty entertaining. I mean, I probably will pick it up on Blu-ray.
I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a lot of fun. I think the one thing that I really enjoyed was kind of seeing a little bit of Tampa Bay in the in the movie. That was something I wasn't expecting. I didn't know that they filmed in Florida and in the Bay Area, but so that was kind of cool. I think that it was an interesting story. It was a unique story. It was Harry Potter-like without it being a Harry Potter copy, you know, because I always felt like Percy Jackson was kind of a Harry Potter ripoff.
Yeah, but with Greek gods.
But with Greek gods, right? But I didn't feel like that was what this movie was, right? So I actually kind of enjoyed it, and I thought it was a lot of fun. So I gave it an 8 as well. So I thought it wasn't the best thing I've ever seen, but it was also very entertaining. I would recommend it. Right?
Right.
Next up, now this doesn't exactly fit our sci-fi fantasy genre, but we went to see Magnificent Seven featuring Denzel Washington and Chris Pratt, and I gotta say, I really enjoyed this movie for it being a Western.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not usually one for Westerns, but I found this movie extremely entertaining, and my favorite line in this movie was, I think that was a bear wearing people's clothes.
Yeah, that was right.
That was an awesome line.
It was funny, and there was a lot of interesting, lighthearted moments in the movie, but there was also a lot of action and
gunfights. And
it was a reboot of a film from I think in the 60s or whatever, and it was actually very enjoyable. I liked it.
I'd give it a 9.
That's a little high for me. I'll give it an 8 as well. So I'm gonna go 8 with that, and you're a 9. So moving on, the Rogue One trailer, the new one.
Yeah, the latest trailer that came out. You can obviously tell that they probably refilmed a lot of scenes earlier this year. Based on the trailers that we've seen before versus the trailer that we see now, yes, there's a lot of new things, but I think there were some scenes before that looked different.
Okay, I'll go with that. For me, I thought it was very interesting. It looked like it was
filmed in Florida.
Filmed in Florida, yeah. True. And what's really unique about this movie is I don't think I've ever seen a tropical planet in the Star Wars universe.
No, me neither.
I mean, obviously you had the swamp planet in Dagobah, but you never...
Yeah, but that's swampy. That's different.
It's not like a tropical paradise kind of planet.
No.
So, and obviously there's different parts of Earth that's swampy and different parts of Earth that's tropical, so maybe that little part of that planet is tropical and the rest of the planet's like Hoth, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
But it's a unique setting, and every trailer that I see of Rogue One is more and more interesting, and I'm excited to see it. I can't wait for it to come out.
Agreed. It looks amazing, and like Jason says, with each trailer, they keep showing more and more, and it just looks better and better, and I'm just hoping they're not putting all their eggs in the trailer, and then the rest of what we see isn't going to be great. Kind of like the Tomorrowland movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what you're saying is that we've already seen the best parts of the movie?
Yeah.
I hope you're not right on that part.
Yeah, yeah. Me too.
Talking about bad ideas, Knight Rider apparently is getting another reboot.
Again.
And for the love of God, Knight Rider was a cool 80s show about a talking car and a self-driving automated car and his human buddy that worked together to solve crimes. Right? Kind of like the A-Team, but with, like, a talking car.
Yeah.
Why do we need a reboot of this? Because, let's face it, a talking car is not unique anymore. Because we all have Siri now.
Right?
Right? So, and a lot of our cars talk to us now, so I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't either. And speaking of Knight Rider reboot, there seems to be a trend now for 80s reboots.
Yes.
MacGyver is awful.
Oh, God. Is it ever.
And I'm really hoping this isn't going to start a trend. I'm not saying that don't reboot any 80s shows at all, but you guys, it's like they seem to keep wanting to reboot the ones that are just not going to work in today's
right
world.
Yeah, because, I mean, whatever MacGyver does now, you can pretty much Google and figure it out, right?
Right?
It's a different world. It's a different world. You know, I mean,
I mean, that was interesting back in the day when there weren't even any cell phones or smartphones or any of that.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, but with the power of the internet in your hands, I mean, what MacGyver does is not exactly unique anymore, you know? And it's kind of the same thing with Knight Rider. I mean, we have self-driving cars now. We have cars that talk to you. And I don't know. I don't get it. All right, the last thing we're going to talk about in rapid fire is Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
Yes, the sequel trailer looks awesome. And they have Baby Groot.
Yes, Baby Groot. It looks adorable. And I don't know, we didn't get to see much from the teaser trailer, but it does kind of look interesting. And it's definitely got that same Guardians vibe that we got in the first film. What I loved about the first film's teaser trailer is it really didn't show you much except for the raccoon. So it was kind of like, you know, what the hell is this movie about? Now that we've seen Guardians and they don't really have to do it that way anymore, it's going to be interesting to see if they can match the feeling of the first film.
Yep, agreed.
All right, that does it for our rapid fire segment. Coming up next,
grief counseling.
It's grief counseling for The Walking Dead.
Hello, Marvel Universe! The Earth Station MCU podcast is your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Join our debrief as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, upcoming and past favorite Marvel movies, cosplay, comics history, toys, games, interviews, and all things MCU. Whether you're a hero or a villain, a new viewer, or have been reading comics since you were a kid, there's something for you on Earth Station MCU.
Alright, folks, so you know that music, it's The Walking Dead, and let's go ahead and give you the spoilers warning, because you know there's going to be plenty of spoilers in this episode.
Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers.
Again, one more warning for you.
Spoilers.
We are talking specifics about this premiere episode, so if you have not seen the season premiere, you have been warned, and don't be mad at us for spoiling the answer of what happened.
Spoilers.
Okay, so for those of you that have been listening to this podcast, we've been giving you hints about what's going to happen. We kind of told you that there was going to be more than one person that was going to get Lucille'd in this particular episode, and we even kind of hinted on who it was going to be. I mean, it was pretty obvious Glenn was one of them, but we also kind of gave you hints that it might be Abraham as well, but that's kind of sad. And what did you think of the premiere episode?
It was actually rather shocking, even though I knew what was coming. I found the episode actually really disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last time I was this disturbed was when we watched one of those Hannibal movies where the guy was eating the other dude's brains.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. That made me physically ill. This was even more disturbing than that, I think.
Hmm. Well, so this moment when Negan arrives on the scene is probably the most important moment in the comic book series, right? So this TV series, if it was going to follow that storyline, had to make it just as impactful, right?
If not more so.
If not more so, right. So, what was absolutely brilliant was the way that they did it. In that, the way that Glenn dies, you know, even right down to the eyeball popping out, that's how it was in the comic series. Even his line of, "I will find you," was in the comic series. And it was... The amazing part about it was that they followed that whole sequence to a T. Now, in the comic series, only Glenn died. Abraham was already long dead by this point.
Yeah.
So the fact that they did Abraham first was kind of like a curveball a little bit for the comic book readers, right? They're, you know, when he took out Abraham, it was kind of like, oh, well, huh, I guess Glenn's going to make it this time around. But Glenn couldn't make it, because Glenn's death is one of the most important parts of The Walking Dead. It really sets up everything that happens from here on out.
Yeah, just like at the beginning of the series, Shane had to die.
Yeah.
And there have been some major deaths that happened in the show that happened differently or in different timelines in the comic.
Yeah, like, for instance, Audrey's still alive.
Yeah.
And Carol's long dead.
Exactly. So it... The fact that they did kill off Glenn really shows the showrunner's respect for how impactful and how iconic that scene is in the comic. Mm-hmm.
If they didn't do it the same way as it happened in the comic series, I think it would have been a disservice to that scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because everybody would be comparing it to, well, you know, in Abraham died. Abraham wasn't even that important of a character. He's not like a Glenn, you know?
No, he wasn't.
And so, with no disrespect to Abraham, Abraham's a great character. I enjoyed his character and all his weird one-liners, and obviously his last line of, you can suck my nuts, was was a classic, right? You know? But at the same time, Glenn is one of the originals, you know? He has been in The Walking Dead since the very first episode. So, the only death that I could see that would be more impactful than Glenn's death would be Daryl's. Because Daryl's so beloved by the fan base.
Yes.
And if he was to go, there would have been a damn riot to Atlanta, let me tell you.
People would have been really...
Right. So, I think there was a lot of reason to kill Daryl. But at the same time, they still got the same impact without causing a riot to the set. So I think Daryl's going to die soon, personally. I think it's going to happen because, let's face it, Daryl is collateral damage. He's not a character that's in the comic series at all, and he can go at any moment.
And I believe that with him being taken prisoner by Negan and his people, as, you know, kind of an insurance policy,
mm-hmm.
we're probably going to see a lot less of him.
Yeah.
Now.
Right.
And I think that's probably going to be a sign that he will be eventually going away.
It could be. Yep. You're right on that. And so, I mean, yes, the scene that everybody was waiting for, and you know, it's kind of funny because everybody was upset. Oh, they didn't show who got Lucille'd. What a bunch of jerks. This is terrible. And now, everybody's like, oh my god, how could they show that? That's terrible!
First, they weren't showing enough, and now it was
much. Now it's like, you're showing too much! This is crazy!
Oh, and by the way, any parents out there who decided it was okay to let their kids watch this episode and then bitch about it afterwards?
You're idiots.
That's bad parenting.
You're idiots.
Don't complain about the television series. Don't complain to the channels or the producers or whatever. You only have yourself to blame if your kids had nightmares.
Yeah, what Rita's referring to is the parental commission or whatever the hell that thing is, that parental watchdogs or whatever. They're making a big deal about how this particular episode of The Walking Dead wasn't safe for kids. Well, no
guess what, people? Not everything that's going to be on TV is going to be safe for kids.
And you know what? They have that little disclaimer before every single segment of Walking Dead saying there's graphic
violence. Yeah. It's not just at the beginning of the episode.
And parental,
every segment.
And parental discretion is advised. That means you, jerkwad. That means you. Do not let your kids watch the freaking Walking Dead.
It's just as bad as parents who took their kids to watch Deadpool.
Freaking read a review. Understand what's going to be on your television. And guess what? This isn't the first graphic death in The Walking Dead. It's not.
Now, mind you, this has been the most graphic death.
Has it really? That we've been seeing people being eaten and torn apart by zombies, for Christ's sake.
This was still pretty darn graphic.
It was, but come on now. I mean, Glenn had guts, like, being pulled out of him at one point. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but in his defense, it wasn't his guts.
No, it was somebody else's guts, but it's still the same difference. It's the same difference.
But the whole point is, parents, seriously.
For the love of God, don't let your kids watch The Walking Dead.
Or you're just stupid.
Right.
Seriously. Sorry.
Sorry. We got off on a tangent there. But, I mean,
it had to be said.
It had to be said, because it's complete idiocy that the parent commission, or whatever the hell they're called, is actually complaining to AMC about The Walking Dead. Why the frick are you letting your kid watch Walking Dead?
Next thing, they're going to start complaining about Game of Thrones.
There's too much sex on Game of Thrones. Don't let your kids watch it! Jesus. Seriously.
Okay, so, back to the episode.
Yes. Sorry about that. So, yes, we understand there's a lot of Glennites out there that are absolutely crushed that Glenn has passed away and that Maggie is now a single mom, or will be, we think.
Yeah, because...
if she makes it that far. So, obviously, that's hurting a lot of people. I want to say Glenn was a great character. You know, I really enjoyed his character. There was a lot of growth with it. You know, from the snot-nosed little delivery boy that was there at the beginning to, you know, somebody that was a very strong, positive character.
Not just positive, but he was a good influence on people.
Yeah.
He was always looking for the best in people. And did you know that somebody published an obituary for him in an actual newspaper?
I don't know if that's real.
No?
No, I think it might be faked.
You sure?
Yeah. But I will say this, that Glenn and Maggie's relationship was a very special on The Walking Dead, and his love for his wife was just, you could really believe between the characters that Steven Yeun and, I'm sorry, the girl that plays Maggie, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but those two actors
had great chemistry,
and you really believe that they were in love. And so you kind of feel it, you know, you feel her loss, and it's tough, it really is, but I felt that it was an important part to moving the story along and introducing you to the bad son of a gun that Negan is. I mean, Negan is a bad son of a gun, and we'll get to Negan in a second.
I am going to miss Glenn a lot, because like you said, he's literally been there since the first episode. He's been there since day one.
Yep.
His loss is huge. It's major.
Yep.
But thankfully, Steven Yeun will still continue on.
He's alive, folks. Don't worry.
In Voltron. Woo!
Yes.
Because he's Keith, damn it.
Yes. So we will hear him at least in voice. And yes. I'm sure we'll see him in a lot of films and stuff too. So the actor's fine. He didn't get his head bashed in. He doesn't have his eye poking out.
It's funny because I saw a picture of him online. I guess in between filming shots for that scene where he's all up in the makeup with the whole eye popping out thing.
Uh-huh.
And he just looks freaky.
Right. And we also would be remiss if we didn't talk about Abraham's character a little bit. I was never a big Abe fan, to be honest.
Yeah, not even in the comic. I mean, his character was okay.
I mean, he served a purpose of being the muscle, you know, and in the TV series, they tried to give him a little bit of depth, you know, with his relationships with Rosita and with the other girl.
Sasha,
yes, thank you. With Sasha. And I just never felt the character, you know. So whenever they decided to let Abe go, I was okay with it. But for that particular scene, Negan's arrival, you needed somebody a bit more impactful than Abraham. And, you know, while Abraham served a purpose for shock value, I felt that he couldn't have been the only death. They had to have somebody else.
Agreed.
So, I know there's a lot of Abe fans out there who just love Abe. And, you know, I'm sorry for your loss as well. But, you know what? Abe, to me, wasn't a crucial character to the show. And I'm okay with him going.
So many people were posting online, I hope it's not Glenn. And others were like, I hope it's not Abe. I'm like, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people.
Yep. And unfortunately, you both are disappointed. Sorry about that. So let's talk Negan.
Okay. Let's talk Negan. So we know that when actors and celebrities go to conventions, we have to draw a line and be respectful to the people that come to the conventions. And there was some online trolling on Facebook about fans wanting to band together and be very disrespectful to Jeffrey Dean Morgan, saying, oh, let's all spit in his face and blah, 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 because he's Negan. You know what? You hate the character of Negan because he's doing it right.
Right.
He is an actor, and he is a fantastic actor, and he has embodied the soul of Negan.
Absolutely, yes.
And he's done a fantastic job of this. You hate the character. You do not hate the actor.
Yeah, you hate the character. You love the actor. That's like going and, you know, punching the kid that played
Joffrey
in the face. I mean, he's not Joffrey. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan is not Negan. So get your heads out of your asses and understand that he is just an actor paid to do a job, and he's doing it pretty freaking well.
He is... At this point in time, I don't think I can imagine anybody else playing Negan
absolutely
other than
not.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Now, for people who are really hating this character, I hate to tell you, he ain't leaving anytime soon.
Nope. And I'm going to also tell you this. Negan, in the comic series, is my favorite character in The Walking Dead.
Because he's such a badass.
Because he is such a badass villain. He is Darth Vader badass. I mean, you hate him now. You're going to hate him a hell of a lot worse when you see what he's going to do. Because this guy doesn't play around. And he is the Mac Daddy. I mean, he is the man. And I'm sorry, he's also hysterical. I'm actually having Rita buy me the Walking Dead box sets for Christmas. Because when this season comes out on Blu-ray...
You know there's going to be an uncensored version of that whole scene, and there's going to be a lot of F-bombs.
Yes, and it's not just that. It's he does Negan the right way on the uncensored version. Because Negan, every other word is an F-word, and that's the way it should be done. Because that is part of Negan's character. And I can't wait to see it, because Jeffrey Dean Morgan, in the little clip that I've seen of the uncensored version, he is freaking perfect. Perfect! And I absolutely love Negan's character, because he is such the antithesis of Rick. You know, Rick is supposed to be the hero and everything. He makes Rick look like a punk bitch. He does! He does! And... You know, Rick was supposed to be this big, bad, you know, mamma jamma, you know, Rick is kicking everybody's ass. No. Nobody's gonna be messing with Negan. Well, at least not for a few seasons.
Few seasons, folks. Like we said, he ain't leaving anytime soon.
And the funny thing is that you're gonna see a lot of new characters coming this season, like characters from the Kingdom. You'll find out about that soon. And Ezekiel... with his pet tiger. That's going to be interesting. And all of this couldn't have happened without Negan's arrival. So, Negan coming to The Walking Dead is going to add so much to the show. You just don't understand what's coming for you right now. And I'm so excited for you folks to see what's coming, because this is going to take Walking Dead to an entirely new level. You know, there's never been a badass, bad guy like Negan. The governor is not crap compared to what Negan's going to be. Just wait. Just wait and see. And so, I know a lot of you are upset. Some of you have sworn off the show, never going to watch it again. Don't quit The Walking Dead because of this. This is a changing moment of The Walking Dead. This is the moment where it goes to the next beyond, and it's going to be something completely different, but it's also going to be something much better than what you've been seeing the last few seasons. In fact, you know, to really think about it, The Walking Dead the last couple seasons have been kind of meandering along and, you know,
a little boring, actually.
Almost a little boring because, you know, there hasn't been this kind of adversary for Rick and the group. I mean, you didn't have this big bad. Negan had to come. This had to happen. There was no other way this couldn't have happened because otherwise the show would just end.
Well, think about it. I mean, the last couple seasons, Rick and his group have kind of been on the top of the totem pole.
Yeah.
Something had to knock them down.
Exactly. Or there's no story to tell.
Exactly.
And so this is such an important moment in The Walking Dead's history that I can't wait for the rest of this season because it's going to be amazing. It really is. I'm so excited about it, and I can't wait for you guys to see it. So that basically does it, unless you have anything else you want to say.
No, I think we've said everything we need to say.
All right, folks, so that basically does it for this segment. And coming up next, we're going to talk Doctor Who and class. Hey, Rita.
What up?
Where in the world can we get Manos the Hands of Fate?
Well, it's a good thing you asked. You can go to our Transmissions from Atlantis store at the ESO Network store.
We have an ESO Network store?
Yes, we do.
How about that?
Awesome!
What else can you get in there?
Everything. We've got Doctor Who. We've got Wool by Hugh Howey. We've got books by you.
Hey, now that's class.
And not to mention, you can even pick up the Walking Dead omnibus volumes.
And how do people get this?
Well, all you gotta do is go to astore.amazon.com, Earth Station 1.
Alrighty then. I'm on my way.
Hello, this is Nick Briggs, the voice of the Daleks, and you're listening to Transmissions from Atlantis. And I urge you to listen, or you will be exterminated!
Where is the Doctor now?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Is that credible?
It's true.
You're the woman he loves.
No, I'm not.
She's lying.
The Doctor does not and has never loved me. I'm not lying.
Confirmed. The life form is not lying.
Impossible. This is a trick.
No, it isn't.
My information is correct. You are the woman who loves the Doctor.
Yes, I am. I've never denied it. But whoever said he loved me back? He's the Doctor. He doesn't go around falling in love with people. And if you think he's anything that small or that ordinary, then you haven't the first idea of what you're dealing with.
Your Majesty, I assure you, she is the perfect bait. When this woman is in danger, the Doctor will always come.
Oh, you are a moron. No, he won't.
He's probably already here.
No, he isn't. Of course he isn't.
Possibly on this ship.
Well, go on. Scan it, then. Go on, why don't you?
River.
Two hearts, stupid clothes, you can't miss him.
River.
Go on, scan the whole parsec. He's not here. God knows where he is right now, but I promise you, he's doing whatever the hell he wants and not giving a damn about me. And I'm just fine with that.
River.
When you love the Doctor, it's like loving the stars themselves. You don't expect a sunset to admire you back. And if I happen to find myself in danger, let me tell you, the Doctor is not stupid enough or sentimental enough, and he is certainly not in love enough to find himself standing in it with me.
Thank you.
All right, folks. So.
Woo!
So, so we have a new episode of Doctor Who to talk about.
It's not Doctor Who.
It's Doctor Who, damn
yes!
it! No, it's not. I saw Peter Capaldi. The Doctor was there. The TARDIS was there. It's Doctor Who!
It's a Doctor Who spinoff, so it is in the Doctor Who universe, which means that it counts.
Right.
But it's still not Doctor Who.
Did he use the sonic screwdriver?
Yes.
Did he defeat the bad guys?
Will he be in any other episode?
It doesn't matter.
No!
This episode was Doctor Who! That's all I got to say.
Are you that Doctor Who deprived?
Hell yeah, man! We haven't had Doctor Who since Christmas! It's true. There was even a Clara Oswald reference. It's Doctor Who!
And Pink.
Pink?
Yeah. Pink's name was, Danny Pink's name was above Clara's.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Oh, I missed Pink.
You missed. Okay. All right, so let's talk class.
Go ahead.
All right.
Taking a deep breath? Go ahead.
The BBC warned us before that this was not going to be a family-friendly show, despite the fact that, yes, it takes place in a school, it involves teenagers, students, and teachers. And they are very right. This is not a family-friendly show. So, again, as, you know, we mentioned before earlier on the show.
Parents, be frickin' parents. Understand what your kid's going to be watching.
Exactly. Okay, so with that said, what did you think, what was your overall impression of the show?
It was better than I thought it was going to be.
Agreed.
And I think it got off a little slow, because I was getting a whole full Vampire Diaries kind of vibe from it, where it was a little boring story about kids and their social lives and whatnot. But when the big bad of the episode finally showed up, the Shadowkin, it got really interesting. And I don't know about the story with the prince and his slave laborer or whatever she is. I don't know how I feel about that. I wasn't really feeling those two aliens that much, but I did like the rest of the cast. I liked the soccer kid, and I liked the wallflower girl, and of course the young genius. I kind of liked their little makeup there, and I guess the prince's boyfriend is going to be part of the group too.
I know some people complain that Jason and I are always agreeing on things, especially when it comes to Doctor Who, but the thing is it's Doctor Who.
See? You admitted it's Doctor Who!
Oh, shut up. So, I rarely have anything bad to say about Doctor Who-related things. With that said, I did find the show very enjoyable because it has that Doctor Who feel to it. It's not just a spinoff that is like
completely disconnected.
Yeah, completely disconnected from the Doctor Who universe. It is part of the Doctor Who universe, kind of like the Sarah Jane Adventures were.
But even Sarah Jane, to an extent, I thought was a little bit disconnected from Doctor Who. I mean, the Doctor would pop in, you know, for one or two episodes here and there, but for the most part, he didn't really show up that much in Sarah Jane. And the same thing with Torchwood. Torchwood, I don't think he ever showed up. In fact, it was the Torchwood people coming into Doctor Who rather than the Doctor going into Torchwood.
That's right. He never did make an appearance.
Right. And so, and for me, Torchwood was trying too hard to be adult. You know, hey, we're adults. Look, we're having sex. We're doing this. We're doing that. We're saying naughty words. Ooh. You know, I didn't really care for that aspect of Torchwood. Now, I did like some of the storytelling and some of the what was going on in Torchwood, but I felt it was trying too hard to raise its hand and say, hey, look, we're very mature. We're not a children's show like Doctor Who is. And I didn't get that vibe from Class. I thought Class didn't try to focus on being an adult. I thought it was more of, it had the youthful element. You know, I thought it would appeal to millennials, but at the same time, I thought that the action and everything was what made it more adult than you know, romances.
I got it.
What's that?
I know what class sort of kind of reminds me of. Okay. And it was a show that you and I watched and we actually enjoyed a lot. Roswell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Roswell was teenagers, it was students, but it was not necessarily a family-friendly show. It was a sci-fi drama.
Right. And yeah, I can agree with that. It did have a very Roswell-type feel. Another show that I would also say it was kind of like, and they actually mentioned it in the episode, was Buffy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very Buffy-ish. And I kind of dug that vibe, because obviously we love the Whedonverse, and we're huge fans of Buffy and Angel. I did get a Buffy vibe from it.
Yes, I agree.
Now, I don't think class...
See, we use that word a lot. We agree a lot.
Yeah. I don't think that this show's particularly going to be dealing with vampires and demons and whatnot. I think it's going to stick to the sci-fi. But I do think that it's an interesting... it's an interesting way of doing it. You know, it's almost like Buffy the Vampire Slayer sci-fi version.
Yeah. In fact, if you think about it, the teacher with the short blonde hair, she's like the Watcher.
In a way, yeah. Although she's more of like a... I don't know what she is. She's a biatch is what she is.
I think she's a woman who, at this moment in time, is stuck where she's at, and she doesn't really have a place in the universe.
She's full of hate is what she is.
Yeah.
But I still liked her, too. I thought she was okay. And
I actually really enjoyed her character. She was a bit of a smartass.
Yeah.
The young genius girl, I really liked her.
Yeah. I didn't think they used her enough. Maybe they will in episodes to come. But I do think that she's obviously the smartest of the bunch.
Now, if I heard correctly, her character is supposed to be 12 years old.
Yeah, and she
doesn't look 12.
Sorry, the actress looks like she's 18. So I'm sorry. I don't know if the casting was very good on that one, but well, I will say that the actress is good, but the casting, if they wanted her to be like a 12-year-old, she doesn't look 12.
No.
But you know, like yeah, the rest of the cast. I don't know if we got too much from the prince's boyfriend, because he kind of showed up late.
Yeah, he was not there too much.
He seemed like a good guy and somebody that might be an interesting development character, but you didn't really see much with him in this one.
No, to me, the four main of the students is going to be the wallflower girl, the genius girl.
The soccer guy,
and the prince. And yep. Then that was it. The other guy just seemed kind of like a fifth wheel.
Well, we'll have to see how his character develops. He might be, like, an additional brawn to the blonde chick, right?
True.
So, we'll have to see. We'll see how it goes. But, overall, I guess I'll give it maybe a 7?
7?
Yeah. I mean, it was okay. It was good. I liked it.
Yeah. I can give it a bit higher rating than that. I'll give it an 8. I mean, I
really?
Found it...
You think it's 8 worthy?
Yeah, I mean, it was entertaining. It's not Doctor Who.
I found it a little boring in the beginning.
No, I didn't. I thought it was really creepy with the whole shadow thing.
Well, I mean, once the shadow kin showed up, it got interesting, but...
Yeah, but you gotta imagine, this is also the pilot episode. There has to be a little bit of the setting up of the story in the world.
I understand that. No kidding. I understand that. I know how that works, but at the same time, I think they could have done it a little more... interesting.
The opening scene was of a big shadow monster attacking a woman and a student.
That was like 2 seconds.
It was not just 2 seconds.
And then the rest of it was,
shadows chasing
people. No, the rest of it until like...
There was like a minute of introducing the
characters. There wasn't. It was like 15 minutes of, who am I taking to prom? Oh, he doesn't like me. Oh, I understand now because he's gay. Okay. All right,
well, guess what? I don't agree with you on
that. It was like 15 minutes of that crap.
No, it wasn't.
And then you had the disapproving father who doesn't like that his son's talking to a girl instead of focusing on his soccer game, you know? I mean, you had like 20 minutes of that crap.
Oh, whatever. You have to introduce the freaking characters. I mean, come on now. And even during those introductions, there were still hints of the shadows and little things in the background. It was not boring.
I guess. I don't know.
You're stupid.
You're stupid.
All right, so overall, we're definitely going to continue to watch the show because It's more from the Doctor Who universe, and Lord knows we are very Doctor Who deprived right now.
Yeah, I think we're going to watch it just because it's Doctor Who adjacent.
Yep. So guess what, folks?
What?
Jason and I are going to go to a sci-fi convention this weekend where we finally get to meet
Billy Piper.
David Tennant.
Billy Piper?
No, not Billy Piper, even though she's going to be there too.
Yeah. But David Tennant.
David Tennant! The 10th Doctor, woohoo!
The 10th Doctor. We will finally get to meet the 10th Doctor. And
can I kidnap him and take him home with
us? You may not, no.
But we have a TARDIS. He'll love it. He can live in it.
Well, all I'm going to say is that I am very excited to meet David. I hope he's as nice as he seems to be. And what will this make for us? How many doctors will we have met at this point? Because we met Paul McGann, Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy. Will this be...
Peter Davison?
Peter Davison, yes, Peter, that's right. Davidson. We met Peter Davison. So this will be number 5 of the 12. Huh. How about that? And he will be the first new series doctor that we've met.
Yes. Yes, he will.
So that'll be interesting. Of course, you know, if we're only doing a photo op, we'll probably just get, like, a minute with him, but...
If that.
You know, we'll get to say, "Hi, David, we're your greatest fans!" And he'd be like, "All right, that's great!" And then, move on!
Take a picture, moving on.
Move along! And that'll pretty much be it, right?
Probably.
But, hey, we'll have a picture with David Tennant, so...
Woohoo!
The heck with it, right?
Yes.
And man, are we going to pay through the nose for it. Woo.
Yep. And if you live in the Tampa Bay area and you're like finding out about this for the first time, so sorry, so sad, but tickets for the photo ops for David Tennant are already sold out.
Yep. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this particular episode of Transmissions from Atlantis. And we just want to also say that please, if you're in the United States... It's time to vote. Early voting has already started in most states. November 8th is when the main vote is going to be. So if you haven't voted by November 8th, make sure you get your butt to the voting booth and vote.
This is a really important election, folks. I mean, there is a lot of things going on. And if ever was a year for you to make your voice heard, it is this one.
And, you know, we understand that there's a lot of people that don't like either candidate that's for president, and that's fine, but understand that we're not just voting for president, we're also voting for Senate, Congress, we're voting on important amendments in your particular state, so there's a lot of important things that need to be decided in this election that could shape the future of the United States of America. And it is your civic duty as an American citizen to exercise your right to vote. There are a lot of countries out that actually listen to this show that would give anything for the right to vote for their leaders, you know, for the people to represent them. So don't believe those people out there that say your vote doesn't count and everything's rigged. Don't buy that. Your vote is extremely important and you need to go out there and vote. With that said, we are going to have our next great debate next week.
Sherlock TV versus Sherlock movies. So we've got Benedict Cumberbatch versus
Robert Downey Jr.
Dun, dun, dun.
Who do you think is going to win that one?
That might be a close one.
Who gets what?
I'm totally going for Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, you can't.
Yes, I
am. No.
Can. Yep.
Why do I always get the short end of the stick?
Didn't you win last time?
Yeah, because I'm a great debater.
In fact... Are you now?
Yes. In fact, I am a master debater.
Oh my... Really?
What?
Really?
What?
Okay, you're done. Let's close out this thing.
All right.
I'm definitely getting Cumberbatch. Since you're such a master debater.
Does that make you a Cumberbitch?
Oh, I'm totally a Cumberbitch.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for this particular episode. And we will say...
Allons-y.
Allons-y. Talk to you next week, folks.
Tyler, Alon's ear. I should say Alon's ear more often. Alon's ear. Look sharp, Rose Tyler, Alon's ear. And then, it'd be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo, because then I could say Alon's ear, Alonzo, every time.
To tell you all the things I should have said so long ago, so long ago. Know that I am grateful, I will not forget or let your memory go. No, I won't. I waited way too long.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.